A reminder that Passover starts on Thursday night. The night of Passover, Aviv 14, is Thursday night. And at 7 p.m. in the gym, we'll have our Kol Simcha Seder. It happens to be on Thursday night. And so it coincides with what the Christian community calls, you know, Holy Thursday. And it coincides with the Last Supper the Christian community celebrates. This year, Thursday night is also the 14th. We reenact, in a sense, the meal that Yeshua did minus the lamb, minus the actual food. And we'll do that. We follow something called Haggadah. The Seder means meal, and we follow a Haggadah. Here's a sample of a Haggadah, okay? So if you've never seen one, these books have been around for a long time. Some Haggadahs go back 2,000 years to the early centuries. And so these are being preserved by the Jewish community, and they're used as a guide to the evening because in Exodus 12, near the end, the Lord says that we are supposed to tell our children, okay? Tell our children, and if the child doesn't want to hear, there's even something in the Haggadah about that. But we're to tell our children that the Lord did this for us. And then it says near the end of chapter 12, this night is so special to Adonai, the night of the 14th, that he keeps watch over Israel forever. And if you keep that in mind, that he keeps watch forever, then you begin to see explanations of why Yeshua, when they finished the meal, it says, because we don't read the Hebrew, so it doesn't say Seder. When they finished the Seder, okay, then it says that they sang a hymn. It actually, in the Greek, it says they sang a hallelujah song. They sang the Hallel, which is part of the Seder. And then they went on to pray, to keep watch. You ever wonder why Yeshua said we need to keep watch? It's just he was making it up. Oh, well, we're going to have a special prayer tonight. Well, there's been a special prayer being happening since Exodus. And Adonai is paying attention because he keeps watch. He keeps watch over Israel. He keeps watch that night. So Yeshua, when he goes to pray in John 17, and as described, he sweats blood and all those things. It's on his father is attentive, and his prayer is efficacious. Had he said, "Okay, let it go from me, let it go from me," would have been. But that's not what he said. He said, "Nevertheless, my flesh doesn't want to go through this tonight," and he knows exactly what's going to go on. "Nevertheless," he says, "Thy will be done. Let your will be done, Father, and I will be content to do that." Keep in mind that means that for the 24-hour period, Adonai, the Father, is watching. The Father is watching every event that happens in Yeshua's evening and day when he is crucified. And we have the guarantee in the book of Exodus. You will have to forgive me because this particular time of the year is my anniversary. What do you mean? The anniversary of the world being reconciled. And I had the opportunity of being reconciled to the Lord in October. But the anniversary of it is on the 14th of the month of Aviv when Yeshua died on the cross. So by this, remember my, what did he say? By this, remember my death. Something we don't emphasize in the body of Messiah. We become so focused on the resurrection that we think that we were told to remember the resurrection. We weren't told to remember the resurrection. Paul tells us that later. Yeshua said, remember my death. So from this point forward, really, this next 10 days or so are all about Yeshua. This is all about him. That's why we do what we do. So that Seder will take place Thursday night. The next Shabbat is the 15th day of the month of Nisan, or the month of Aviv. And it is the first day of unleavened bread is supposed to have a holy convocation. And the seventh day, which will be Friday the 22nd, is also going to be a convocation. So we'll have service. Next Saturday is a dual service. Duplo. like the toys. It's a Duplo service. Both Shabbat and Passover. So it will be, it will have some elements of Shabbat, and it'll have some elements of Passover. Okay? So it's a special service, a special music, and all those things. On Friday the 7th, we'll have a service here, Friday at 10 a.m. At the conclusion of Friday, when the sun sets, the Unleavened Bread Festival is over. So then you can go on Friday night and have your pizza. Whatever else you like to have. Saturday the 23rd, is also going to be special for our congregation, because Kathy Marie Klein is going to have her bat mitzvah. One of the daughters of Abraham is going to do this at older age. I think this is so valuable, so important, so beautiful. So she's planned a number of things. I'll be getting together with her to plan even more. And it'll be a special service as directed by the Holy Spirit through Kathy. Okay, so that'll be very nice. We'll have prayer and intercession every Monday because it doesn't interfere with the holidays. But the Thursday night portion will have to change, because this Thursday night would have been the in-place prayer and would also have been the dance class. And it won't be, because we're having Passover. The following Thursday night is the eve of Nisan or Aviv 21, which is the eve of a high holy day. So we will also not have dance or not have prayer here. Okay, because on high holy days we do things differently. Okay, so that's coming up. The rest of it has been mentioned in other places, and I can begin. At the beginning of the service, I shared that the bulk of the Passover details are included in both Matthew, but in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're there. But John gives some insights that the others do not. John seems to take that time and make it where he expounds on that time. From chapter 12 through 17, John 17 is a prayer in Gethsemane. Okay, which is on Aviv 14. So from John 12 to John 17 is covering the days, the Aviv 14, and it's also covering the days prior to. And it caught my attention as I was reading in John chapter 12 that Yeshua withdraws. After he had been teaching, he withdraws for a little bit. And John continues his narrative. But this time it's not quoting Yeshua. He is, as if it were, he is the editor-in-chief of his gospel. And the editor-in-chief begins to say the following. He said that he begins to give an explanation of what is actually happening. That all of these things have been shown to the people. He has done so many things in front of the people. But they're slow to understand. They're slow to accept. Their faith is having a hard time catching up with what Yeshua is saying. And so he quotes Isaiah 53. He quotes Isaiah 53. If you don't know Isaiah 53, you will, because we're going to play it in music at the conclusion of my message today in John, so you can be ready. It's called Who Hath Believed. And it begins, Isaiah 53, verse 1, but I'm going to quote it from John. John said, verse 38, chapter 12, this was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, who said, Adonai, who has believed our report? In other words, who has a belief of what is happening? And to whom has the arm of Adonai been revealed? It's a direct, exact quote of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Then again, Paul quotes the same thing. Now, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be established, right? Except that Yeshua would have been sufficient. You know what I mean? Yeshua saying it is sufficient. But Yeshua quotes, you know, John quotes Isaiah in Romans. So it wasn't Yeshua who said it. It was John who said it. And John, if you like, actually needs witnesses to establish something, because that's what the Bible calls for. And it's both in Romans and in Isaiah. Three witnesses. Three witnesses. One in the prophets, one in the gospels, and one in the letters. Like, in three different places it quotes that. It must be pretty important. I thought, what a great name for a message. Who hath believed a report? The anniversary of the greatest gift to mankind is approaching. What gift is above everything we might ever experience? It's easy. If you have come to Yeshua, you can say, it is the day of my salvation. It is the day that's called salvation. By the way, salvation is Yeshua in Hebrew. Yeshua means salvation. So every time you hear that word salvation in the New Covenant, you can insert the name Yeshua, okay? Or you can insert the verb of that name, which is Yeshua. Same, identical, okay? Yeshua means salvation. We also call that being born again to a living hope from imperishable seed. That's in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, and in verse 23. This is the greatest thing in all my life. This is the greatest thing in all our lives. Is it for you? The greatest thing ever is that we have been reconciled to the Father. I think this deserves my time and my great attention. Maybe even my entire effort and commitment. In 6 days, continue in John chapter 12, and goes on to chapter 13, and he begins by 6 days before that day. 6 days before that day. 6 days before that day of the Passover would be the ninth of Aviv. Tonight at 6 p.m. becomes the 9th of Aviv, because the 9th of April and the 9th of the first month correspond at sundown. Okay, correspond at sundown. So tonight is Aviv 9, the ninth day of the first month, and today is the 9th of April. Isn't that amazing? In the events surrounding Messiah's Passover, from my message on April 11, 2017, I expounded on the details, which I'm not here. But the ninth of Aviv is 6 days before Passover. So we are at 6 days before the most momentous and crucial season that has ever happened to mankind. And I wonder if I'm really ready to offer it all. Let me elucidate a little bit. On that day of Aviv 9, Yeshua came to Bethany, where, quote, Miriam took a pound of very expensive oil of pure nard and anointed Yeshua's feet. Then she wiped his feet dry with her hair. Now the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. That's in John 12:3. There is some commotion about the fact that she had bought a pound. It's a Roman pound, so it's a little bit less than our pound, but a pound nonetheless. It's about 12 to 13 ounces. That's still pretty big. Of something that is very, 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 very expensive. In fact, it was only available to use in the anointing oil in the priest. So she took something that was way more than she could afford. So it's like in the Atlanta Braves stadium, okay, you can buy a hamburger to celebrate the 131 years they've been in existence for $131. That's right. The burger has gold things from nature in it. Still a hamburger, $131, okay? It's a big hamburger, about this big, $131. So just to relate to us, would you pay $131 for a hamburger? Probably not. Would you go buy, okay, $1,000 worth of this amount of perfume and then pour it on the feet of the Messiah? By the way, the feet usually walked in sandals, and the roads were not paved except by the dung of the animals, if you understand what I'm saying. That means that the feet get covered with mud. Let me just call it mud, okay? Smelly mud. And so the feet of a person, even if they're clean, if you're going to walk at all from one place to another, and they didn't have, you know, a donkey or a burro, or he didn't have a motorcycle, so they walked everywhere. And she washed his feet and then kissed them. Think for a minute what I'm saying, what she was doing. The disciples, you know, in this case, one of them who maintained the money, the one that was a banker, there was a banker among them. The banker said, you know, couldn't we have used that much money for the poor? Well, here's what Yeshua said. Leave her alone. She set it aside for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. John 12:7. Today is 6 days before. Today, 6 days before. We are in identical timing. Are you ready to give him your most precious and expensive gift? And some of you go, well, I don't have $131. And I sure don't have thousands of dollars to buy that. I want to define what is the most expensive gift you can give. You already gave him your heart. Not giving him now. He already has it. Is that correct? Is that correct? Have you already given him your heart? If you've been withholding it, then that's a problem. Okay? you've already given him your heart. You've already asked him to come into your life. So what is it then that is the most expensive thing you have? Americans should really understand that because it's called time. Time. Time is the most expensive thing you have. And guess what? All of us have a measure of that time. Every hour, every second of your life is essential. Are you ready to give him your time? This is a rhetorical question. At some point, I'm going to ask it for real. Don't you dare say yes unless you mean it. So I'm warning you ahead of time, okay? The next day in the year that he was crucified, okay, the next day from 6 days before the Passover, which was on Tuesday night, that would be Shabbat. The Shabbat of Aviv 10, Yeshua comes from being away while John gave that little discourse, okay? So the next day, he makes an entry into Jerusalem. A huge crowd, quote, a huge crowd had come up for the feast. What feast? Passover. Because 3 times a year shall all you males appear before me in the place that I will choose. The first one is Passover. And it says they took palm branches and greeted him shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Where's that? Did they just make that up or? Guess what? That is right near the end of the Hallel, which is Psalms 113 through 118. And in Psalm 118, it says Hosanna. In fact, there's a whole prayer called Hosanna at Sukkot. Okay? This is a Sukkot greeting. This is a Sukkot greeting. Look, the crowd somehow figures out, probably by the Holy Spirit, that this is a Sukkot kind of event, even though it's Passover. And they take branches, and they have Palm Shabbat. You heard of Palm Shabbat? No. You've heard of Palm Sunday, but it wasn't a Sunday. It was a Shabbat. The King of Israel, John 12, 13. Watch the following as I continue. This is just 6 days. This is the same time that we're today. Even Gentiles were caught up in the moment. Even the Gentiles were caught. You mean there were Gentiles there? Apparently, John's telling us the word. He said, look, verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. Some Greeks. That means that Gentiles were going up to worship at the feast. That means that the revelation of God's people and about his festivals is not just for the Jewish people. And right here in the Gospels already saying, look, it's for Jews and Gentiles together, like in a Messianic congregation. There were some Greeks who were going to worship at the feast. But they wanted to see Yeshua. They came to Philip. Philip, you know how old Philip is? I've said that here before. In John 14, Philip has a big, big thing. Okay, so he's going to show up again on that special scripture. And where the Lord tells Philip some things and answers his questions. How old was Philip? Anybody want to guess? He was the youngest, not John. How old was he? Let's make a guess. He's probably around 17 years old. Right around 17 years old. Why did they go? Because he was the youngest, right? You can get to something if you get through the kids. Oh, hallelujah. Right? This came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in the Galilee. Sir, they said, open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Yeshua. We want to see salvation. Here it is. Here it is. It says, they said, we want to see Yeshua. Famous song. Verse 20. And then something I hadn't noticed. This year, the Lord's bringing out things as I'm reading. He says, did you notice that before? Go on. No. I thought the Father spoke at the baptism, and the Father spoke at the transfiguration. And I preach here, that's the second time he spoke. Well, there was a third time. Here it is. Here it is. The Father speaks again. Verse 27. Yeshua says, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. 6 days ahead, he's already knowing. 6 days ahead, he's feeling what's going to happen. Here's what he continues to say. But it was for this reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Continue reading. Then a voice came out of heaven saying, I have glorified my name. And again, I will glorify it. Do you suppose this is a special moment? We are in the timing of the Father actually speaking for a third time in an audible voice. Today, 6 days. You call this day Palm Shabbat. We would call that day Palm Shabbat because it was Shabbat. I want to continue with that thought. Yeshua said, it was for this reason I came to this hour. I believe that it is for a reason like that, that called Simcha has come to this hour. And we should want to exclaim on this Shabbat, Father, glorify your name. We should want to say the same thing so he can glorify his name in our midst. Here's the issue. Are you ready to believe his report? Are you ready to believe his report? Sometimes I am, and sometimes I'm not. Like the commercial. Sometimes I feel like a nut, and sometimes I don't. We say that we are ready to believe his report, but how easily are we drawn away by the events, schedule, and living our daily life? I want to just give a summary here. Since January 1 of 2022, I have been earnestly trying to shorten and expunge our services from any and all vestiges of time excess. While experiencing some success, now, what do you mean some success? I looked at the Boxcast repository for all of our services starting January 1 and measured how long did I speak. Now, that doesn't lie. From the moment I spoke to the moment I ended, here they are. Okay? 25 minutes. 36 minutes, 46 minutes, 26 minutes, 47 minutes, 38 minutes, 47 minutes, 46 minutes, 25 minutes, and 78 minutes. However, in that 78 minutes, there were some people who spoke. There were testimonies given. So I wasn't the one speaking. Okay? and 22 minutes last week, respectively. In these last 2 weeks, I've been having a deep discussion with the Lord about this. Lord, I'm really trying so hard for our services to be smaller and so on. I've been having big discussions with him, big time. I'm telling you my insides. Big discussions with him. And I keep saying, Lord, I don't know how else to do it. No matter how meticulously I have prepared and tweaked services, trying to end by 12:15, I have been quite unsuccessful. Realization came. There's a truth. The truth of the matter is that I am not likely to achieve something like a 1.5 hour, 2 hour thing and done. Not likely. That's not going to be my modus operandi. It isn't. Okay? The norm in the greater body of Messiah is, I want to call it that way, okay? The greater body of Messiah. Most people know it as a church. Let me continue with my body of Messiah kind of thing. In fact, since I also have, except for two services I deleted because the audio was terrible. So I checked to see how long were the services. Not just what I spoke, but the actual service itself. Look at the amount of time that was in there. At the end, sometimes John plays music, and they don't necessarily immediately cut off. They let the music play a little while and those kind of things. The service is over. Everybody's milling around, but he's playing music. Okay, so I went and checked. Looking at the live stream, these times were January 1, 2 hours and 31 minutes. That's 12:31. January 8th, 12:15. The next two, we couldn't do, we did, but could not. They not were not recorded. January 29th, 2 hours and 27 minutes. February, the first weekend in February, 2 hours and 1 minute. Then 2 hours and 17 minutes. Then 2 hours and 24 minutes. And 2 hours and 33 minutes. 2 weeks ago, it's 2:55 because there were videos. And to be honest, I was asked to extend the service. 2 hours and 42 minutes because there were testimonies and videos. Okay? 2 hours and 28 minutes, including the testimonies. And 2 hours and 34 minutes last week. Know what the average is? 2 hours and 28 minutes. That means that we ended by 12:28. In order to trim the service to less than that, which is the average, okay, we would have to stop the following things. We would have to ignore the move of the Holy Spirit, because that takes time. We would have to ignore praying for people. We would have to ignore the drashes that Marilyn and Jackie bring every week. Just silence them. We would have to not do a processional. We would have to stop greeting one another, which is a 5-minute minimum. I know because I put the music together every week for that, okay? We would have to stop any testimonies. We would have to stop any exhortations and eliminate some of the prayers, okay? That include especially dancing before the Lord. So you wonder, why do we do Romemu? And why do we do Barhu? And why do we do Kadosh, and why do we do Anima Amim? Why do we do that? Because we say the prayer in Hebrew, we say the prayer in English, and then we dance the prayer. Would you say that's part of our MO? Would you say that's part of our identity? Okay? This is dancing before the Lord. Now, if I eliminate all of that, then what's the difference between my service and the regular services in the body of Messiah? What will be the difference? Come, just pray a little bit. The worship would stay, and the message would stay. But no dancing, no processional, none of those things. No exhortations, not hearing from the female side of the body. We're supposed to become a bride, feminine. Let me just tell you something. We need to hear from the feminine side of the house. I won't. I'm just not going to do it. So I was having these discussions with the Lord. And I felt like I was being told, let's face it, Rabbi. It's like I'm having this discussion. Let's face it, Rabbi. Kol Simcha is never going to be a church. It hasn't for 30 years, and it won't be on here. We are Messianic Jews. Shabbat is not a service, but instead is a weekly high holy day. Weekly high holy day. And it lasts from sundown Friday until sundown Saturday. The fact is that many in Kol Simcha, let's face it, many of you, many in the congregation, are still in the process of switching from a Christian identity to a Messianic Jewish identity. It's just the way it is. Okay? And leaving some of that stuff that you learned and did and treasured, okay? Leaving some of that to believe the report. To believe the report. To believe the report and become a Messianic Jew. Live streaming doesn't change that identity. And it doesn't justify a change. I quoted this to the Lord in my discussion. Lord, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. High holy days are coming. Besides today, which is also a high holy day. Ooh. High holy days are coming. I think we need to take time. Give time, the precious anointing oil of time, and take inventory and do the following. Give Caesar what is Caesar's, and give God what is God's. And what is God's? His high holy days, for sure. For sure. The body of Messiah is embracing the seven high holy days. They kind of skip over verses 1, 2, and 3 of Leviticus 23. But when people who are serious and look at the high holy days and say, surely we are supposed to do this forever, like y'all, and looked at the first three verses and said, Shabbat. And now you become an advocate Shabbat, and you share that with people. And usually, the response is, we're not going to talk about that. That's the best you're going to get. You can go talk to anybody in the body of Messiah about Shabbat, and they're just going to say, we're not going to talk about it. Or they'll say, it's in our denomination. Or this is a rule. That's the nice way. There are other ways. You might actually get the foot of fellowship. You might actually get that foot of fellowship if you want to insist in treating Shabbat as a high holy day. With that thought embedded in my mind, I want us and myself, I'll just say me, I want to give Adonai his due, especially on his high holy days. Especially in his high holy day season. I made a commitment to myself and to you, whether you realize it or not. I'm sensitive about time. Super sensitive about time. But I'm ready to believe his report. I think we need to want to consecrate ourselves for Pesach because it's the festival of our freedom, not just the Jewish people's freedom from Egypt, our freedom from our Egypt at the cross. Shouldn't we be ready to observe the historical aspects of the spring high holiday season and profoundly celebrate the renewal it brings us individually and collectively? It all begins on the 14th with the memorial Yeshua Seder celebration that we will do next Thursday, April 14th. I want to ask the question, how long does that take realistically? Okay, this is at least 2,000 years old. You find the old ones and they all have the same kind of things. All seders follow this, okay? Let me just tell you. When you pick up the Haggadah, you have the following sections. First section, greetings and the lighting of the festival lights. Second section, the first cup. In there, there's the Urhats, the Karpas, the break the middle matzah, and the Magid with the Passover story. The four question, Manishtana, and the answers, and then Dayenu. Then we pick up a second cup. We bless the matzah, bitter herbs, and we have the sandwich. Then there's a Seder meal, number four, where there's blessing and the afikomen takes place. And then the sixth section is called the fourth cup. It's also called the cup of Elijah is there and the singing of the Hallel. Well, we don't have to sing the Hallel. Well, did Yeshua sing the Hallel? Just a question, just asking. Did he recite it? Did he sing it? Shouldn't we? Oh, I think so. And finally, a conclusion. Look, I took out the meal because it takes an hour and a half. I took out the meal. And have, historically, not wanting to have a meal because it's a bunch of work. And the last time that we did that, Michael and Stephanie did the meat for it. Maybe you'd like to ask how long it took them to do that. And we served it, the meal that they had prepared. We served it and did the Seder with meal. When we used to do that, we never left before midnight. Furthermore, we had to rent to do that. And you cannot walk out at 11:30 and leave the place dirty. So we would have to clean the whole place, whether it was the village or whether it was, it doesn't matter. 30 years we have tried to do this. And here's the worst part for me. The highlight of this should be the third cup, but it's near the end. And because it's near the end, it's after 9 o'clock. And when it's after 9 o'clock, some of us have a clock, an internal clock that says, it's time for my bed. And especially if you had a little wine. All right. So we will not do the meal. And here's the other big time consumer. Should we not do foot washing? The rest of the world doesn't do foot washing. Why should we? Well, let me quote from John 13. This is when the Passover starts. And it doesn't end till John 17. How about that? 13, 14, 15, 16. You see right away that we are at the Seder in John 13. And Yeshua said to them, you know, when it's time to do the washing, the first washing of the hands, he instead put a towel around him and went and started to wash the disciples' feet full of stinky poo. Okay? When he got to Peter, Peter said, "You're not washing my feet." And Yeshua said, "Okay, if I don't wash your feet, you're out of here. You won't have anything." Okay, and they said, "Well, give me a bath then." He said, "No, I don't need to give you a bath. You already had a bath. All you need is to have your feet washed." And he goes on and washes Peter's feet. Peter says, "You know, no matter what, I'm not going to leave you." And Yeshua says, "Oh, Peter, before the crow sings three times, tonight you will deny me three times." Finishes. Now I want to read from John 13. Yeshua said, "You guys call me teacher and master." How do you say that in Hebrew? Rabbi. Okay. "You call me rabbi and master." Baal. Okay. "And rightly you say, for I am master and I am teacher. So if I, your master and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash each other's feet." So when is that going to be done? Where is that? Where have you been that this is done? There's been a few. There's a few in the body of Messiah. There's a few. Okay, but what's the context here? Where is he? In the middle. He's at the beginning of the Seder. That's what he does. "I have given you an example. You should do for each other what I have done for you." The only difference between that and a commandment is that he didn't say, "You must do that for each other." And therefore, because it should, then we interpret it as should and it's optional. And my problem is that I'm trying to reenact what Yeshua did on his Seder. And I just can't leave it. Now, it's true. You don't have to have a litany and a gazillion prayers for each foot or each toe and each person, because that could take a really long time. But as a minimum, there is a half hour to 45 minutes. Cut it off. The rest of the Messianic movement doesn't do it. They don't do it. In all Seders I've ever been, it's not done. It's referred to, but it's not done. So we're taking Yeshua's things as suggestion. He made a suggestion. We ought to wash one another's feet. Suggestion. So let's leave it at a suggestion and not follow it. And you understand that those of you who've been around me a long time, I just can't. So I'm talking to the Lord about this. I was talking to him about it. What is following? Do we really have to follow this? The Haggadah is a Jewish text that sets forth the order of the Passover Seder for the last 2,000 years. It is a fulfillment of a mitzvah. What? Yes, go read Exodus 12. That to each of the children of Israel, we are to tell our children the story of the book of Exodus and about the fact that Adonai brought us out with a strong and outstretched arm. You know how you say that in Hebrew? Zeruah. Remember it. Because there's a part of the Seder called the Zeruah. And we talk about a bone. But it really is his strong hand and outstretched arm of Adonai. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm. I quoted it right out of the scripture. Now this is a once a year celebration. You can have the meal of Messiah anytime you want to. This is not an injunction against what's called communion. You can have communion anytime you want to, but you can only have Passover Seder on Passover, not some other time. On which Passover? Should we do it the 14th or the 15th or the 16th or the 17th? No, it's all Passover, right? When did Yeshua do it? On the 14th. When should I do it? On the 14th. This is the problem with Tony Arroyo. Un problema muy grande. He wants to do it the way Yeshua did it. And I don't have the option to say, well, that was all suggestions. Thank you for your suggestions, Yeshua. But we don't have time. I'm sorry, but we don't have time. And when he had taken the matzah, it says in Luke 22, something I quote on the Passover, he offered a blessing. Which blessing did he offer? We even know what that is. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei peri hagafen. He didn't just make one up. There's been one there since Abraham. He broke it, the matzah, and gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in memory of me. The same way he took the cup after the meal. Which cup now is this? Third cup. And he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. In the book of Matthew, it says, do this as oft as you do, right? You've heard that in memory of me. So we want to take that and say, okay, well, as oft as you do is freedom to do it whenever you want to. Except, go find a Jewish person that wants to have Passover every Sunday. I'm just being serious, okay? We to put out the chametz and etc. So, find what Jewish person wants to keep doing it the rest of the year. The people that were his audience, the 12, were all Jews. So when he says to them, as often as you do it, John tells to Peter, and Peter turns to Andrew, and Andrew turns to Philip, and they're all going to say, well, how often do we do it? Do you think that in their mind was anywhere except Passover? Do you really think so? And here's what happens. What happened when we took out the Jewish roots of our faith? This is what happened when we separated the new covenant from the Torah and the Tanakh. We have something that's floating here and it doesn't have a foundation, so we are then free to give it any foundation we want. And the answer to that is, do you think that I have come to destroy Torah and Nevi'im? Do you think so? I'm quoting Matthew, of course. I'm quoting Matthew 5. Do you think that I've come to destroy Torah and the Nevi'im? God forbid! I have come to fill it full. Fulfill. Fulfill doesn't mean it's done, forget it. When you graduated and you got your diploma, okay? That would mean that I got my PhD I got it. Now throw it out. Doesn't mean anything from now on. I mean, if a diploma means so much, what do you think the stuff of the Lord mean? What do we do when we throw away the Tanakh? We throw away Isaiah. We throw about the report. We throw that out. We throw away the festivals. We throw away everything. But of course not. Does the body of Messiah throw away Isaiah? Does the body of Messiah throw away Jeremiah? Does the body of Messiah throw away the Psalms? Does the body of Messiah throw away the Proverbs? Well, the Gideons sure don't. Because their Bible has all the New Testament plus the Psalm and the Proverbs. That must be all you need. And is that really what have you come to this congregation? Have you come to become part of the greater part of Israel to just throw it out? Or have you come to become part of it? Look, I respect those of you that are in transition. That's like you transitioned for birth. By the way, the hardest part is transition. It's the hardest part of giving birth. I respect that. I'm not getting on to you, but I am getting on to me. And the Lord was getting on to me. Look, I am just not going to be Pastor Tony. I'm not. I can't help myself. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch. You know I love you. I can't help myself. I have to be what the Word calls to be. I follow the Word as closely as I can. I live it in my house. People are free to come to my house. Anybody's ever come, have you ever experienced anything that was out of order in my house? You're even welcome to go look in the refrigerator. Okay? Without saying anything, there you might find something there. You go, uh-huh. Used to be kosher wine, and it was always in my refrigerator. But I started liking other wine besides kosher wine. I've been doing Passover Seder since 1980. That makes 42 years? Wow. That was a year before I was ordained in the ministry. Seders were never short. They weren't short in my home. They weren't short at Auburn. I did 3 Seders at Auburn, in the Auburn University Chapel, the 3 years that I was there, 1983, 84, and 85. Because that has to be the first of the year, you know. So I did them at the University Chapel. I got the Auburn University Chapel to do Passover Seder. Marilyn and I distributed 1,000 flyers inviting. We went through the parking lot. And when the police come in and say, "What are you doing?" I said, I'm Tony Arroyo. I'm Dr. Arroyo. Oh, go ahead and put whatever you want. But that's Auburn. You have to probably put me in jail, okay? But at Auburn, we put out 1,000 flyers. You know how many people showed up? 13. And we had a guest minister and his wife that came, that we paid for to come. 13 people. Did we do a 1-hour thing? Did we do a 2-hour thing? No. I had the key. I had the key. They gave me the key to the Auburn University Chapel, and we had to make sure it was clean, but it was never before almost midnight. At Auburn, Alabama, it was almost midnight. When I went to Dr. Rothman's house, a member of B'nai Israel, my best friend on campus, was a cantor for this area, and a member of B'nai Israel, a full-fledged conservative Jew, conservative Jew. And we went to his house to have Passover. How long did that take? Would you like to know? We got there before sundown. And we didn't leave there till way like 1 o'clock in the morning. And what did we do? Oh, we were stuffed church. We sat in a corner, Marilyn and I, because we were already like, what are we doing here? Okay? No, there was fun. There was records, because he has a gazillion records. And there was all kinds of stuff. And we had a ball. Marilyn and I, my two children, with him and his wife and his two daughters. It was never short. If you come to any Arroyo Home Passover Seder, the shortest ones happen when it's just Marilyn and I. Then it's 2 hours maybe. But if there's anybody else there, oh, I don't know how long it's going to take. Because instead of reading the Haggadah, we do stupid things like, all right, Amelie, what do you remember the Passover story is? And Amelie starts saying. And then at some point, say, okay, you've said enough. Okay, Stephanie, if you happen to be in my Seder, continue the story. And then Joe, continue the story. Why do you think I picked on Joe and Stephanie? Why do you think I picked on Michael and Stephanie? Why did I pick on Harris Walters, the father of my daughter-in-law? Why? Because we're going to fulfill the mitzvah. We're going to tell them, don't read the book, tell them. Is the story not in your heart? How long do you think that's going to take? You know, at the same time, when Michael came to a Passover in my house, he brought a Hunts Club bottle of wine. You need to ask Michael how much that was. And others did too. So it was actually, we were having fun. And guess what we do in my house when we get done? We take a walk in the full moon that's up there. We go take a walk to see what it was like for the children of Israel to walk out of Egypt on the 15th day of Nisan. Like it says in the book of Numbers, there were no helicopters with lights. There were no flashlights. They didn't exist. And nobody had an iPhone. But then we just go, we got it right here. So we walk, and you can see the kids on the front and the back. Why do we walk? We walk every time that we do it with people in our house. Why? Because we want to experience what Yeshua was experiencing. What was he? What did he do after his Seder? He walked. He walked to a place called Gethsemane and said, you know, we're supposed to have a watch. That he didn't say that. They already knew they're supposed to have a watch. They're Jews, for goodness sakes, they knew supposed to have a watch that night. So he went a little further and he separated. He had all 12 and then he took 3 and then he went by himself. Funny, but Matthew wasn't there, but he records what was part of what was said, right? And Luke wasn't there, but he records what was said. And Mark wasn't there, but he records what was said. And John was there. He was close. And he records exactly what was said in John 17. So do you get the idea that this is a special thing? Do you get the idea this is really, really special? Do you get the idea that the congregation gets to experience the same thing that Yeshua did on Holy Thursday? It was really Holy Tuesday, but that's okay. The same mindset starts on that day but continues for 7 more days. The Feast of Unleavened Bread from Saturday, April 16th until Friday, April 22nd. In closing, and I've gone, today I've gone almost 60 minutes. It is time to bless Adonai. Just like in John 12. It is time to bless Adonai for the freedom that he's provided for us. You see, for the world, it's just another thing. But for us, this is a great mitzvah. You know, if I throw it away, then I stop being a Messianic Jew. So rightfully so, the Lord asked me, Rabbi Tony, do you want to be a pastor? The story goes, I wouldn't be ordained by the MJAA because their ordination was going to be the title pastor. So I wouldn't do it to this day. The days of his passion and resurrection are to be forever treasured. So I want you to do the following. See the clock? Turn it off. Turn off the clock for the high holy days. Turn off the clock. If this is not acceptable to you, I'm not going to be mean. I'm just going to say, do what you have to do. This is not acceptable to you. Do what you have to do. But as for me and my house, as for me and majority of the congregation, we are going to do what we need to do. What if it's inconvenient? So. What if I don't get much sleep? So. Do you stay up until midnight on December 31? Well, we did in my house. That was always a tradition. Nowadays, we know, okay. But we did stay. To this day, my kids call it midnight from Israel. And they call from everywhere they are. They call it midnight. So you're not going to get much sleep if you do. Might as well stay up. We stay up for December 31, and we stay up for all kinds of things. Why don't we stay up on the night that Adonai has a perpetual vigil? I just said vigil. The prayer warriors around here just jumped up and down, shout Hosanna. Because we call that prayer vigils, right? I'm sorry. I just cannot be anything but who I am. I apologize I ask forgiveness ahead of time. Grant me some grace. But I have little ones. We did too. Marilyn, we did too. The whole congregation, there were five families that were 10 children, 10 kids, and Ian was the oldest. In 1992, Ian was 8 years old. That means Ame was 4. He was the oldest. So the others were 6 and below. All of them. Well, actually, we were worse then because I hadn't made a commitment about being really good with time. I have now. But we need to turn off the clock on Passover. And we need to turn off the clock on Shabbat. And we need to turn off the clock on High Holy Days. What if nobody comes? You can't get people to want to come because they say, well, how long does it last? Well, if you look in Boxcast 3 weeks ago, it says 5 hours. That's because it didn't get turned off. So Boxcast thought that we were just broadcasting, and it says 5 hours. So what are the likelihood that anybody's going to watch that video when it says 5 hours? It was actually one of the shortest ever. But it says 5 hours. Okay, so let me just say to us, the commitment is still in place. God knew that I had something to say today. And it's 12:26. And you are dismissed. Stand.